Blog Talk Radio.
It's such a struggle trying to climb the ladder of success.
Living in a world where every day my strength is put to the test.
But I face that test with courage, and I just won't be discouraged. I'm determined, you see, to reach my
possibility.
Now I run across so many things that could block me. But I made up my mind. And there's just no limit to all the great things I can do. I see my possibility. Just woke up and found him here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me. I'm looking for the drama track. Straight ahead, I won't look back over my mind. I hold the vision of my destiny. And it keeps me up. Cause I know what's inside me. It's so much more than I can see. It's so much that I can become. That's why I'm reaching for the sun.
I see my possibility. Just woke up and found him here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me.
I'm looking for the dollar track. Straight ahead, I won't go back.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa Bismillahi Rahman Rahim wa Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, how you doing? I gotta get you plugged in now. Go. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar. So we are good in the hood.
We are good.
Okay. So, alhamdulillah, how are you doing? What's going on with you?
Oh, you know, I'm good. You know, doing the life thing. Got another day to get it right. So, I'm grateful. This is always like my recharge moment. And, yeah, so we're good. Made it another week.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. That's good. So, so Monday is a no-hair day for you, is it?
It is.
Or no?
It is. It's my time to kind of recharge. And because I'm fasting, it gives me a chance to reconnect with myself, get refocused, like really release all of the, you know, the sometimes you can get these little life anxieties and stuff, right?
Yeah,
so I'm like,
yeah.
I need to have that day where I don't have no other distraction but really see about myself. And so yeah, that's what today was for me. I don't know. I think I'm probably still a little bit tired from we had our big old party at the Crab Feet this weekend. So I did take a little midday nap. And but, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Alhamdulillah. Well, I'm going to share with everyone with us in our continued fluid motion relative to, okay, we might do this way, we might do that way. So it belongs to us, so we do whatever we feel is appropriate for it. Take that prerogative. But I found this to be a very inspiring piece And I want to share it with people on the line with us today. And as I say to all of them again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a TikTok. It's a TikTok video. I was able to extract the audio and the audio visual, trying to play it out of my phone or whatever. It's like, nah, sound didn't come through the way I wanted to. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and have this little plate up and showing on as we air it, but I'm going to be broadcasting it through the Blog Talk platform and use the sound. What are we doing here? The sound for Facebook and YouTube. Possibility that it might not be as strong as I would like for it to be. So let me see how we want to pull that off. So sound quality. You know what? So Blog Talk folks can get it from my computer better than people on Facebook and YouTube can get it from the phone. Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and play it from my play it on the laptop. And leave my mic open so that whoever's on Blog Talk, they'll be able to hear it as well. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
So let me go ahead and put the plate up for the Facebook folks so you know what we're looking at or what we're listening to. Assalamu alaikum, Mahdi. So let's go see what happens here. Let's see if we get a big echo thing. If we get a big echo thing, then we're gonna have to do something else. All right, Bismillah. Let's go see what happens. You can turn.
Of the world with me.
Alhamdulillah. That actually was sent to me. Who sent to me? I got a lot of people who sent stuff. Yeah, so mashallah. We're gonna get this high tech narration and let's visualize. Maybe I need a vision board, huh? I need a vision board of a new studio, you know, where you got all the setup that we got, all the bells and whistles that we like to see in these kinds of spaces here. So inshallah, we do that. So as always, what's going on with you right now at this moment?
You're asking me?
I'm asking you.
Oh, okay. I thought that was like the general.
No.
To the whole community and audience. No, I'm When I went to Costa Rica, I rode on one of them little planes.
Is that right?
And so, you know, so I was fully connected, first of all, to the terror of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because those little planes, you'll feel everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to have this visual of, you know, when you're in this moment where it's just like you just have to trust the process, like
mm-hmm.
trust whose hands this is in, trusting that this is what they do. You know, you are at the front. Ain't no doorway between you and the cockpit, you know. But it is also, there's also this moment, this level of faith. And then I'm big on, you know, what I call, or what I have labeled as being an obedient listener. And mm-hmm. that obedient listening is when Allah inspires on your heart to do a particular thing, that there's a part of you that's just like, I don't know how that's going to work. But you know that when you ask the question of, is this going to be for my best good? Is this going to be good for my way of life as a Muslim? Is this, you know, you ask those questions of it. Like, is this fear that's making you second guess that you can pursue and do this thing? And it's in those moments, like this, the analogy of what he was using, this experience, that, you know, it's like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know how we're going to come to the other side of this. And it's like, no, be an obedient listener. Like, don't let the other things out here make you second guess what Allah has for you. Because it's between you and Allah. Like, they don't know. They're not even a part of that conversation to even hear, to recognize the direction in which Allah is sending you in. And so I that's a big part of why I really, really did appreciate that recording. I thought that it was beautiful.
Well, I'm going to step back and let you finish. You know, it's your nephew's mm-hmm. birthday today, right?
My nephew.
Salahuddin.
Oh, I was like, wait, because I'm doing the math on all of them. But yeah,
at,
got
right?
it, got it, for sure.
Yeah, yes. So I got to clear. I'm going to clear up now so I can clear out in a timely way after.
Yes.
So the stage is yours. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalamu wa rahmatullahi. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Let me adjust my camera, right? Welcome. We made it here another week. There is, so one thing about me and my thoughts, especially with revisiting the recording that the imam shared, is that what has been coming up for me all day today is the word that I had to, you know, I start my year off with, identify the word, my word for the year. And my word for the year was evidence. And living in this space of being the evidence of what it is that I say I believe, you know, my life as a Muslim woman, my life as an entrepreneur, like, be the evidence. Like, don't live in this space of needing to prove that you are worthy of a thing. It's to be it, right? And of course, you know, I was looking at, and it's going to, like, one thing about going into and studying the Quran is, like, you really need all day uninterrupted experience. And so, of course, like, I went looking up, you know, kun fayakun, like, be, and it is. And it's a layered concept and a layered ayat with everything that is in the Quran. And so I knew that what I was seeking to understand, I couldn't approach it looking for it to satisfy my ego's hunch, right? The best way I could explain it. Like, I had this hunch, and I was like, oh, let me go and look at this ayat. But because I wasn't coming to it for what it can give to me, like what it was to be revealed to me, I was looking for it to shape and my idea as opposed to allowing it to shape me. Okay, hope that makes sense. Keeping up. That this ayat was to shape me, right? As opposed for, to me coming to it to shape my idea, right? That you want to be transformed by the revelation. You don't want to transform the revelation. And so I knew at that point when I recognized what was motivating me and what was happening to me in the moment when I was approaching, seeking to understand it, that's when I knew. I said, it's time to stop. Because we can enter into a space of seeking to understand something that we don't allow ourselves to really lean into the truth of it, like really lean into the truth. And that part of it may require us to relinquish and release our, projected ideas, our own narrative, right? As opposed to receiving what it is that Allah has for us from it. And so in this story that was being shared, this true experience that was had, I am always drawn to how Allah utilizes our language and then gives us the experience to better help us understand the way that we speak. Like the message, it comes to us in our language in a way that if I give you this dream or if I give you play this song at this particular point, you'll know that this is connected, right? And I live for those moments. I live for those moments. And you always wait for that moment when you're having this personal conversation and we're preparing ourselves to enter into Ramadan with this opportunity to have a personalized conversation. And it doesn't include anyone else. It is just us and the revelation and what it is that our heart has gone through leading up to Ramadan, that now our heart is prepared to receive the revelation. It's going to hit different, as they say, right? And when we say that it's going to hit different, it's because we've had a journey from last Ramadan to this Ramadan. And that journey has brought some things out of us. It has challenged us. It has given us space to celebrate a thing. It has done just a multitude of life experiences that our heart is prepared to receive the revelation, right? Inshallah, I am praying that our hearts are prepared to receive the revelation because the heart has gotten worked through this time from last Ramadan up until this one. So we are hoping and we are praying that our heart's capacity has expanded to receive and to be written on once again coming into Ramadan. And what do I mean by that? And I've said this before, and it constantly, though this thought and this idea has continuously been a part of my thought process, it is constantly one of those moments where I reflect on the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the revelation, and that it was inspired, Allah inspired him to go to the Cave of Light. Like that was where he was good. That was the journey he would go on regularly and in this space where he would worship and reflect, and like this was that space. But it didn't happen the first time he went to the cave. He had multiple journeys to this cave. And I always say that, when I went on Hajj and I went to see this this mountain, that the mountain that we were experiencing at the time that we went to visit, it was paved. The bushes were removed. It had, you know, like little wood to make it easy for you to step up, and it wound. It was kind of like a winding road for you to get to it. And even once you're in there, it's small. It's very small. But this is over 1,400 years. Technology evolution making it easy for us to access the space. But prior to that, it would have required, like, what I would say, the Tom Cruise Mission Impossible scaling a mountain to get to this cave, right? And so there has to be a level of athleticism. There's a level of energy. There's a level of strength and endurance that is built up over time. That the more you do it, like when you start to, when you prepare for a marathon, when you get ready, you know, when you start to do it, you might huff and puff a little bit. But as you continue to do it, your lung capacity expands, your heart gets stronger, your circulation, like all of these things, whatever it takes to exercise, right? And so this experience, the connection for me that I was making, and these are after a multitude of other experiences that I've had that I needed to understand for myself. But in that, the heart had to be prepared to receive the revelation, because it was said that the Quran was revealed on his heart, not on his head, not only just like knew it by heart, it was revealed on his heart. So the heart had to have the capacity to be able to carry this revelation. So you had to go on a journey, a tough one, you know, the obstacles, but you got to be determined. There's a level of determination. There's a level of, like, desire, this unwavering desire and belief that you're going to get what it is that you need, right? And to each and every one of us, we've been on a journey preparing for this next Ramadan, preparing for this month of what they say, the burning, right? And when we say this burning, it's a purification. It's an opportunity to clean up the things that may have, you know, really kind of knocked us off our square over time, and or to nurture what has been built on our heart over time, right? So we have been prepared. Our heart is being prepared, and we'll be able to recognize the message and what is being, and the revelation that is being given to us specific to our lives as a result of the journey that we've been on. So in the recording of what was shared, there were key words and symbols and things that came up while he was in the midst of this challenging moment, right? And so though these things were happening, you know, God was preparing him. He was being prepared. And it was quite terrifying. So, like, when I say it was quite terrifying, I've been on one of them little planes. And it's scary, right? Like, it is. It's not like the commercial plane situation. It's just you and the plane. Like, imagine riding in a VW bug in the sky. Like, it's that tight, right? Funny. I'm reflecting on it. It was a funny situation, right? Because when it got real bumpy, it was quiet with everybody in there. Before, when we was getting on the plane, we was all ha-ha, kiki, we excited, going to where we going. But the moment it hit that real heavy little bump, and we was riding through the tropical rain, it was pure silence. Like, nobody had a joke to tell. It was just like, okay, let's ride this out, right? So let me get back to the story. So in this, I want us to think about the journey that we've been on. I want us to think about the prayers that we've been making. I want us to think about the things that we've been asking a lot of, just like, help me better understand this. Or whatever it is that you are seeking to manifest for your life, right? That what is going to show up are the things that were either blocking you from it, the things that you have chosen to focus more on other than what it is that Allah is saying. Look, pay more attention to this. Don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to this part, right? It's like in those moments that we have this opportunity to really have an intimate conversation and to really allow our hearts to be written on. To really allow our hearts to be written on. To really allow ourselves to receive, it'll start to make sense. It's like, oh, the same thing that you read last year, you read it this year and it hit different. The thing that you know, it's like, yeah, that moved me, I understand, but then you read it again this year and it's like, oh, you really get it. Because it was in the midst of it, in the journey of all of it, it was like, I was really trying to understand. Well, what was happening is your heart was getting prepared. Your heart was going through the preparation for you to be ready to really see it, to really value it, to really put it to work. And now we'll be able to take those jewels, take those verses, take those lessons, and now we have those to add to our toolkit as we continue on our journey. And then we get to practice this way of life called Al-Islam with a new revelation that has been placed upon us. Now we get to put it to work. Now that we finally understand what does it really mean, or with difficulty comes ease, like, but what does that really mean? And it hit a little different because there's a way that we went through a thing and came to the other side of it, and now you'll enter into coming out of Ramadan into the next season of your life, and you'll be like, oh, I get it. And then you're going to have to practice it. You want to practice it to where you really understand how it supports your way of life to get the best part of this life. Because with all of these things, all of these experiences, what's so beautiful about it is that Allah wants us to have a beautiful life. No one can tell me anything different about that. Allah wants us to have an amazing and beautiful life. And so when the challenges come up, I literally wrote this morning, that, you know, and me and my dad had talked about it too, but look at the obstacles as an opportunity. See the obstacles as an opportunity. And it's an opportunity to, one, show you how far you've come, and then also to show you how, you know, how I use the term powerful, how much power you really have. Like, you don't really know the muscle until you've had to use it. You won't really understand how, you know, strong your swimming arms are until you feel that your life might be challenged in that ocean, right? It's an opportunity. Okay, this is where I need more strength, and this is where I know I'm strong enough to handle this, right? So where are those different little moments so that we can explore what that looks like? So with that, when it says to, like, don't pay as much attention to the storm, pay attention to Allah. Pay attention to Allah. Because, like, when I think about my life, like, yeah, I have some storms is popping off right now. The storm is storming, right? But at no point in time in this storm of life, is there anything in me that goes, I give up, or I can't do this anymore. Nothing. The prayer is, Allah, show me what it is that I need to understand so that I can get through this season, get through this obstacle, because I know that you want me to have a good life. And I know that you have entrusted me with this obstacle and this challenge because within me you want to squeeze out the answer. You want to challenge me to bring out the answer so that whatever my experience that is happening to me, the answer can come through me. So how does that support the life that you live? So, like, even with the story that he shared about this airplane experience, right, that here he is, obviously in ministry, obviously a public speaker, motivational speaker, that when you sign up for that kind of work, you know, that assignment, that it is in that assignment, something about my computer that does it when I do this, it gives me a thumbs up or something. But see, there. But I take it as a, you know, the computer saying, yes, that's right. So I receive it. That in that, in those moments that you are, you sign up for the work of being a vessel to inspire, to motivate, to educate, you're going to have some experiences that there's a part of you that's like, I don't know why I'm going through this. But then you come in contact with, you know, people who needed to hear that story so that they don't even have to do what it is that you just did. What it is that you just went through is really so that you can share this motivational word to other people who will see the answer come through, the testimony that you have as a result of the test that you went through. And that saves someone's life. It saves their life. And so when we sign up to do the work that we do, you know, when we talk about, you know, back to my time about evidence, about being the evidence, there are some things that you're going to, you have opened yourself up to have to experience. And you have to experience it so that you're prepared to connect with those that are going to need that story to save their lives. So what is that moment? What is that experience that you've had? Because the experience that you had is because Allah has entrusted you with this experience, because that experience is going to save somebody else's life. It'll save yours, and it'll also save someone else's life. So your life is the evidence of the work and the effort and the desire for the good that is within this world, within this life, right? In order to seek out the rewards of this life and the life to come. So with that, is the man available?
I am.
Okay, good.
You kind of abbreviated yourself a little bit.
I thought that was the cue because you were on a time schedule.
We'll take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You
actually read it right. We're going to get off the personal thing now. But I was in the midst of trying to find the flyer that you so beautifully produced for the Ramadan intensive sessions, mm-hmm. so that I could drop it into the site while I do this. So you go ahead and talk for a couple of more minutes and let me do that so I can be ready when I do what I do. Okay, so
okay,
carry
no
on.
Worries.
All right.
Good. Okay, so then in carrying on the conversation, here's what I'm like. We have an amazing opportunity this coming Ramadan because we are entering into spring. I am a girl that is big on energy. I am big on when the Imam says, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, says that, you know, that nature is a master teacher. Like, we are to pay attention to what nature is doing and what is it that within nature that we can see and learn and understand ourselves, see ourselves reflected in nature. And so here we are coming into the spring season, and Ramadan is happening during the beginning of spring. And spring is known to be the time of rejuvenation, a time of rebirth, you know, this time of new life, right? And when we come into this new season of the spring, it is because in the winter, all of the things that needed to be released are being released. Like all of the things are being, all of the things that need to have the capacity to carry this new life is being challenged. So if it's not strong enough, it will not hold within even the winter months, so that when the spring comes around, it needs to be strong enough. Those branches had to be pruned. The soil had to be redone. Like all of the things had to happen to the garden, right, in order for it to be strong enough to carry the new growth. It had to be strong enough to carry the expansion of how many leaves are going to be on the tree. It's going to have to be strong enough to carry the fruit that's going to be that's going to grow from these branches, right? So there are things that will, parts of it that will be challenged. That's who we are. There are parts of our lives that's going to be challenged. So one thing that I told my clients to do, which was really good, is to identify your branches. Like if you are the tree, identify the branches of your life. Identify, like, okay, is family a branch? You know, your spiritual life a branch? Your financial life a branch? Your children, branch, your job, your dreams, whatever it is, like identify those branches. What are the areas in there that may be challenging you? Because you want to make room for the new life that will grow from it. And are you willing to make some sacrifices? So if it's health, let's just say if it's health, one of your branches is health, right? And you want to become stronger. Okay, so then there's some things that you got to cut back on. Say, you know what? I'm going to cut back on the consuming as much sugar. I'm going to cut back on, drinking sugary drinks and, you know, consuming flowers and things like that. I'm going to have a discipline to cut those things back so that I can have the capacity for a healthier, stronger life. So a healthier, stronger life may require that I consume more fiber, that I do more things. So there's a new habit that I'm going to add on to my life. And that new habit that I'm going to add on to my life is the thing that I want to utilize to be stronger with. Okay. I saw that you sent me a text, but my phone is not unlocked to where I could get to it. I'm sorry. Like, you know, we family in the front room, so it's all good. You muted, Baba. I can't hear you on Blog Talk.
Putting all our business on Front Street. Guys. Like,
oh, it's okay. Like, no, we're here now.
there's no curtain. There's no curtain. Everybody can see behind the curtain. Allahu Akbar. All right, so we're gonna keep it pushing as I get a little sip of my water here.
Yes.
Thank you so much, and may Allah continue to bless us and you. All right, let's go. Bismillah. The theme today is the will of Allah, right? The theme, the wealth creation and submission to Allah's will. Wealth creation and submission to Allah's will. Before doing that, you heard me say that there were some things that I was trying to get my hands on so that I can share with you. And I want to do that before I proceed, and or rather as I proceed. And that is, alhamdulillah, we're really happy this Ramadan. We're going to have Ramadan intensive sessions around the subject that we have here. I think sooner or later I'm going to have to go ahead and have two screens. Try to do it with one screen, but it seems not to be enough. No matter how hard I try. All right. So my co-host created this for the event. Very beautiful. Let me see what I have to do to get her to teach me how to do this. This is very beautiful presentation, aesthetics that are adorning the subject matter. The subject matter, it incorporates all of these terms in here. The rise, the robbery, the redemption, the resurrection, and the renaissance of Al-Islam in the world. And it's a Ramadan intensive session, and it's going to be on for three Fridays and Saturdays, that is three weekends, inshallah, from the 15th to the 20, pardon me, from the 22nd to the 29th of March to April 5th. Going to be simulcast on Facebook and YouTube live, and also there is a Zoom link there. So if you want to go ahead and take a screenshot, that's one way of getting it. The meeting ID for both Friday and Saturday is the same for those days, as you see here. The Friday sessions, the meeting ID is this one. The Saturday sessions, the meeting ID is the second one. So this is what we're going to be focused on for this Ramadan, and it's literally what's there. So to abbreviate my announcement more, so when we talk about the, this is a, this, so every weekend is 6 hours, right? So you have the 2 hours on Friday, and then 4 hours on Saturdays. So overall, on the whole, it's going to be 18 hours to cover in a way that is comprehensive, I would say, each component of this title. You have the rise, which would relate very much to the growth of Al-Islam in Africa. And I want to go ahead and hit you with one question right off the top. You know, what is Africa? What is Africa? I'm going to leave it right there. So it deals with the rise. And then we'll also be addressing the robbery. And the robbery is, will a man rob God? Yeah, even as you have robbed me of this whole people. The whole people who are the subject of robbery. And unfortunately, or in reality, what have you, the fact of the robbery, you can see that in our names, most all of us generally have the names of the slave master. And that's evidence. That's how can you say, CSI proof. Those are the receipts that you were stolen. Okay, so you have the rise, you have the robbery, then you have the redemption. There's a redemption that came. The redemption wasn't only the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Nation of Islam, but that was a big part, if not the culminating part of that redemption. To talk about the pinnacle, the apex, the sin qua non, that may not be the right use of that, but it just sounded like it should fit. Of the whole freedom movement that was motivated and generated through people like Denmark Vesey, you know, Nat Turner, you know, and all those other, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, et cetera, Frederick Douglass. These are all moving and aiming towards that goal. There's a something of a culmination, an apex, if you will, of that you can see in the aggregate force that is even still present of the Nation of Islam. So that is a big part of the redemption. And then there's the resurrection. We talked about it, that redemption, the portion I'm saying now, also as the resurrection, but then also Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, he told us that that was the first resurrection. This was the second resurrection. And I got to tell you, there's not a third resurrection. You need a third resurrection when something dies. So even though we were dead as Negroes, and then we were resurrected from sleep, being asleep, sleeping, mentally dead, so-called American Negroes, we were resurrected from what we were, how can you say, our new tomb. We had to be brought out of that tomb in order to really come to life in the fullness of it. Okay, well, that's the resurrection, right? And then there's the Renaissance. The Renaissance. There's something that is wholly new and that became wholly new in conjunction with this people and Al-Islam, the union of those people that cycle through all of these named processes here, and they're arising and connecting truly with Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, had not just implications for them as an ethnic group, but it had global significance for all people. The transformation of that called the Nation of Islam, and the that is a redemption. You know what I'm saying? You get those plastic cans, bottles, and glass bottles and what have you, then you take them to the redemption center. Allahu Akbar. You take them to the redemption center so you can get their value. But unlike the 2 cents and the 3 cents and the nickels that the glasses and the aluminum cans, et cetera, offer, though it's a blessing to whoever needs them, the value of this redemption, man, it's being redeemed to your original value. A redemption to your original value. That is the Renaissance. And the Renaissance doesn't stop with the individual who got the redemption, just like it didn't stop when the Arabs, who were, at what Aristotle said, were beast in human form, what their quote-unquote human resurrection and their redemption brought about the Renaissance that we know of in the world, but it was after they themselves were transformed in a way that was, we must say, miraculous. Well, it happened again. And that's what we're going to talk about, covering that. The rise, the robbery, the redemption, the resurrection, the Renaissance. And we're taking the time, inshallah, with the hope of completing it and ultimately transcribing it and making it a history presentation, because it is the master narrative, and it's one of those, you know, that's our story and I'm sticking to it. There can be things that, you know, like a whole lot of people have done books on John Kennedy and Abraham Lincoln and even Elijah Muhammad. Those have done on Elijah Muhammad, et cetera, different authors with different takes. Muhammad Ali, Elhaj Malik al-Shabazz, different authors with different takes. So I'm not saying this is the last time that it'll be done. I mean, there's no way for me to be so arrogant. There is a way, but it's not my intention. The point is that I really feel that this this presentation, when it's done, it will be a critical cornerstone for the understanding of that very rich history, that very significant, sacred history. So inshallah, I hope you can be with us and bring others. It's very important for young people, especially, even and especially for those who were a part of the transitions of communities, those of you who have children, but those children are not really connected with that history and don't see the real significance of it. This is something to encourage them to. But also and especially our immigrant Muslim brothers and sisters, forgive me if it's offensive to say that for you, but those who are of other ethnic extractions whose parents are not indigenous to this country, whose parents perhaps came to this country for business and education, et cetera, before the transition, or, you know, or even slightly after, they're really those who are open to it, they're very, very benefited by it and very interested to know. And the point is that most of them have no idea. I mean, most of them, they only think about Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali, and that's pretty much it. We can close the gaps for many of those people, those who are of our generation, our children, who don't see, well, what's the big deal of W.D. Muhammad? What's the big deal of Elijah Muhammad, et cetera? And they don't understand that. This is the place and the time for them to learn that. Make dua for me, and inshallah, we'll try to be as accurate as we possibly can, comprehensive as we possibly can, and be able to put bookends to the subject. The rise, the robbery, the redemption, the resurrection, and the renaissance of al-Islam in the world, because at that time, February 26, 1975, that brought about a renaissance for al-Islam in the world. And that renaissance is happening right now. We could literally lay out a who's who in economics, politics, academics, culture in the world right now that are bringing about massive changes in those arenas, in all of those arenas right now, who are the fruit of al-Islam, born from the fruit of Islam and the MGT, of course. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So we look forward to making that contribution to that. Now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let's go to what we wanted to specifically focus on tonight. There's a role for the will of Allah in all that we hope to create, right? This broadcast, always remember, when you think about it, when you see that WCP, WCP is wealth creation and preservation. Wealth creation. So we are talking about creating wealth. So you must think about wealth as something that you can create. Okay? So just have it in mind. So the idea, keep it in mind. But even as you do that, because there's so many, you know, quote unquote, ideological, philosophical, metaphysical systems, perhaps even spiritual systems from the perspective of the way they approach it with a deity involved. But there are many who approach creation and manifestation, et cetera, non-theistically, as though all we have to deal with is just the laws in the nature of creation. The law of the universe is just a mechanism, and as long as you know which levers to pull or buttons to push, et cetera, then you can get whatever you want. Morality has nothing to do with it. Wrong. What pleases God has everything to do with it. Pardon me. All right, so understand this firstly, that there is a role for the will of Allah in all that we hope to create. It just doesn't matter. I won't even try to enumerate anything. Are you trying to bring something into existence that doesn't exist right now? Whether it doesn't exist, and more especially, it doesn't exist for you, right? Somebody else may have it, but you're trying to create it for you. Okay, so whatever it is that you're trying to, then you need to understand the role of the will of Allah in that interest. So there's a role for the will of Allah in all that we hope to create. Now, this figure is drawn directly from the meaning of this verse, the 24th verse of the 8th surah of the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجبوا لله والرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم واعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه وأنه إليه تحشرون. صدق الله العظيم. And an expression of it is, O you who believe, give your response to Allah and His Apostle when He calls you to that which will give you life. That's one thing we can hearken back to the video that we, or the audio that we began the broadcast with tonight. Allah is calling. Allah is calling. You have to listen to the voice. You have to listen to the voice, the call of Allah. It says they ask thee concerning Allah. It says, where is Allah? They're asking you concerning, where is Allah? Allah says, He is always near and listening. And so let Him with a will listen to my call. So you have to listen to Allah's call as well. And then the way that Allah puts it here, when Allah and His Apostle, when He calls you, so Allah is treating them as one. We're not confused that Muhammad is God or divine or anything like that. But as we know, obedience to the Prophet is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Prophet gives us a call, it is in the way of life, al-Islam. There are calls that he makes as a man that you can take or leave. There are things that he gives us that are recommendations, and there are things that he gives us as commands. When he gives us things as commands, there's no choice but to obey that if we believe. And in terms of those things that he recommends, it has to be deeply considered. But in this, Allah and his apostle, when he commands in this way, that is, Allah's will is being commanded. And when he calls you to that which will give you life, hayya ala al-falah, hayya ala al-falah, when he calls you to that which will give you life, you have to respond. Give your response, right? And it says, and know that Allah comes between a man and his heart. That is, Allah comes between a man and his heart. And that it is he to whom you all shall be gathered. Again, going back to the video and the audio that we played, you are going to be returned to Allah. And there is a voice. There's another beautiful hadith when Allah talks about the man who created a banquet, and a call to that banquet is given. Again, the banquet is Jannah. That's the call. And so the idea is, if you're going to get there, you have to listen to the call. And you have to follow the voice of that call, and that's going to bring you to the gathering of the gate of the great gathering. So know that Allah comes between a man and his heart, and that it is He to whom ye shall all be gathered. So let's look at this image here, this illustration. Right here, well, let's start on the left. We all have our human intentions, our human will, our human plans to realize some possibility existing in creation. We're not trying to create something that's impossible. We're trying to create something that is possible. And never underestimate, that's why we love to play the song, I See My Possibilities. Never underestimate the possibilities that are possible, the potential in the nature of creation and the nature of your creation as an individual. When I say in the nature, I speak of you as an individual, but at the same time, I'm speaking of you as a creation of Allah. I'm speaking, you didn't create yourself. Mom and dad, they were involved with your production into three-dimensional space, but they didn't create you. Allah created you. Allah created the design. Allah created the potentialities. Allah, all that in us. I'll use this again. It's like you get these calculators. I know we got iPhones and everything, but the age skew of you that are online right now, you know what I mean when I say a calculator. You get those calculators. We used to have those Texas Instrument calculators. You really could say chopping high cotton at that time. Those calculators, and those calculators have Yes, they have the 9/10 digits, 1 through 0. They have that, you know, plus, minus, multiply, divide, et cetera. Yes, they have that. They have the clear, the memory, the do-do-do. That's fine. But then when you got that, went up to that next level, you had sine, cosine, square root, all these other things. And most of us never get around to even using those other buttons. All we use is just the 1 through 0 and the plus, minus, multiply, divide. And that's what we use the calculator for. Well, that is somehow, sometimes we relate to our created self. We relate to our created self like we only have 1 through 0. That is 1 through 0, 5, 0, 9, 0. That's the button we have. We only have the addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. We don't think about square roots, sine, cosine, any of that, because we seem to have no use for them. The point is that we have a creation, and within our creation, there is a potential that is fully and thoroughly untapped, and we just don't know it. We don't know about it. And again, a part of the rise, the robbery, et cetera, is that we have been deprived of that perception of ourself, and we have been lied to about ourselves. And over the generations, we have incorporated those lies as realities. And so they bind and confine our perception about what is possible to a very limited range of possibilities, which limits the expression of our potential, because we don't even think about moving outside of what's already been approved for us as regards leveling up, okay? So in any case, I remind you again, Quran says, they make similitudes for God, but forget their own creation. It's like, remember you are a creature created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he designed you according to what he, quote unquote, conceived for us. And he made us the excellent creation, unique and distinct from all other created things, right? Breathe into us of his spirit, taught us the knowledge of the nature of all things. That's in each one of us walking around here, but we don't tap into it, right? Because of the rise, the robbery, etc. And so, excuse me. So just understand that we have this in our being. If you're alive, you're hearing what I'm saying, then you're more than what you think you are. You're more than what. No, you don't think of yourself in the fullness of your potential. So I'm saying no matter what you think about yourself, you're more than what you think you are. All right? So human intentions, will, and plans to realize the possibility of existing and creation. So we all have those aspirations, these drives, these appetites. All right? And so you have an arrow going that way. So that arrow is going, we're going to go through the block and come back to the block last. And so we have these aspirations, and the aim of our aspiration is to try to abstract and extract and actualize from the potential and the nature of creation, right? So I just talked about the potential in you as an individual. The universe is bigger in terms of its space, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it a nature to give its gifts to us. سَخَرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the creation with a nature to render service to us. He didn't create it to dominate us. And he didn't create us to dominate it. He created us to cooperate with it and get the benefits and the blessings that he put in it. This is what the Quran 30:30, which is a statement, it's a mirroring statement, right? Just like these two circles mirror each other. It's a mirroring statement. Fitratullahi lati fatara an-nasa alayha. 30:30, 30:30. Macrocosm, microcosm, all right? So that fitratullahi lati fatara an-nas 'alayha, the same nature that is in us is the same nature that is in creation. And the creation has blessings, rewards, et cetera, that it's there for us. That is the garden. This is another thing that Allah says in Surah Ar-Rahman. It says that he has given you two gardens. In Surah 18, it talks about the man that was given two gardens. You and I, we are the two gardens. We could go so far with this. You know, this, the right brain, left brain, those are two gardens. And the river that flows between the two gardens is the brain fluids that make our thinking possible, et cetera. The rivers, those are rivers. And the two gardens, left brain, right brain also. So the idea is learning how to reconcile both of those, learning how to use them in balance in the right way to understand the nature of creation, because Allah, alama adam al-asma kullaha, he taught us the knowledge of the nature of all things. And then he said, tell them their names. And then when you tell them their names, then they submit to you. Well, that's how. That's why the scientists, let's take like an Elon Musk, for example. How and why is it that he is the richest man in the world? Do you think his intellect has anything to do with it? I think so. In fact, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, he says the material life, talking about our life of wealth, the material life is intellectually fated. He says it's intellectually fated, right? And so that's Imam giving us the clear, quote-unquote, philosophical language that scientifically and metaphysically explains the reality of wealth. It's intellectually fated. And in common man language, it says money flows from those who don't know to those who do know, like a seesaw, right? The more you know, then, quote-unquote, the heavier you are, right? And so that heaviness goes, don't take it the wrong way, the heaviness that is your knowledge of whatever the field is, right? Whatever. If you need to know electronics, you need to know engineering, you need to know law, you need to know whatever. Intellectually, you know, and every other form of manufacture, creation, et cetera. Okay, you increase your knowledge in that, then that means someone else who is lighter in that, who needs what it is that you know, then what they have in terms of wealth, they transfer that wealth to the one who knows what they need to know. Because here's another aphorism, and it is, whatever you don't know, there's someone who knows. And that is, whatever you can't do for yourself, there's somebody else who can and will do it for you and charge you. So it's like, whatever you don't know, you pay for what you don't know in one way or the other, okay? So you, for those who don't know X, their money, I'm going to put it back over here. For those who don't know X, their money flows to the ones who do know X so that the individual can get done what they need to have done. Whatever you don't know, someone else will do it for you and charge you. So the idea that wealth is intellectually fated. I'm going back to that. Again, Elon Musk example. There's a relationship between that capacity for wealth creation and intellect. And so you put it to use in the right way, you get that. But what are those wealthy people abstracting, right? They're abstracting the potential that's in the nature of creation. That whatever's being done right now, I don't care. It's the math. You can talk about the math. Right, you can talk about the logic principles, all these things that are related to artificial intelligence and computer generated utilities, what have you, software engineering, blah blah. That's knowledge. There's knowledge about language. There's knowledge about math. There's knowledge about chemistry. There's knowledge about all of these different things. And those people who have that knowledge, they are putting that knowledge to work to manufacture things, and they are being paid for it, and there are people who are paying for it. All right? And but what I'm seeking to is that these newly created systems that are generating wealth for so many, they are coming out of all of the possibilities that are existing in creation. Nobody is creating anything that is not possible. There's nothing that has been created there. That's impossible. Well, why the hell we got it? We got it because it is possible, right? And there are many things that don't exist right now that somebody is saying is impossible relative to the potential in creation, but it's only because the mind hasn't arisen to abstract that strand or that element or that aspect of creation, bring it into reality. How long has sand been on the earth? How long had the crude oil, fossil fuels, right? How long have they been in the earth and on the earth, right? Precious jewels and oil, and unfortunately, I have to mention this: the cell phones that we use and the cobalt that's involved with that. But unfortunately, there's such an ugly, ugly way that the cobalt for our iPhones, et cetera, how it's abstracted. I won't even mention it. I'm mentioning it. You go look for it. It's horrible exploitation of Africa, again, and Africans and of all ages, so that we can have our selfies, right? No, I'm not going to turn in my phone and all that. I'm just saying, you know, mashallah, that's horrible. There's another way to do it. Yeah, but it may cost more, and that's where the crime is actually being committed. But let's get away from that. The idea is that the potential was and is in the earth for so many things that are not existing right now that will follow the same path of those things that do exist right now that didn't exist 100 years ago. Tesla imagined the cell phone. He imagined the cell phone. He described the implement of a cell phone, a telephone in your pocket at the beginning of the 20th century, okay? But it didn't come into existence until we get the Steve Wozniaks and the Steve Jobs and the others who brought that about. All I'm saying is that whatever we desire to create as an element in and for our lives, the potential for it is in the creation itself. All right. So we have our desires, all right, and the universe has its potential. All right, so we are sending, if you will, I'm just using it descriptively, we're sending our aspirations out in hopes of tapping into something in the existing creation as a possibility, right? And our hope and aspiration is that it returns to us and that we come into actual possession of what we intend and will and plan for. All right, here we are between the two, the movement from what we want and what's possible in creation and that possibility in creation coming back into our lives. It is Allah's will that stands between that transformation. 2:216 says, maybe that you dislike something that is good for you. Hajja has spoken on many occasions about, you know, sometimes things seem to be obstructed, seem to be limited, seem to be denied, et cetera. It may be that denial is good for you and you dislike it. It may be exercising you in a certain way, purifying you in a certain way, developing you in a certain way, and you get frustrated and you get angry and you get disappointed, et cetera. Now, it may be that you dislike a thing that is good for you, right? I'm going to have to remember because it's come up another time, and I got to look it up in the Quran again. It says, Allah says that if I were to give all of you what you desired immediately, most of you would become inordinate transgressors. But I send down my blessings in measured. I send them down in measured ways because I am with my servant well acquainted and aware. Allah is saying, I know you. Now, if I give you what you're asking for right now, in the state that you're in right now, which you don't well understand, most of you are becoming ordinary transgressors. And God is saying, I love you too much to do that to you. So you know what? I'm going to hold this back from you. I'm going to give you something in compensation for it, but you got to keep listening. You've got to keep listening. You have to be seeking my will in that. You have to accept, mashallah. You have to accept, why didn't God let me have this? And even though I don't understand why he does, in the example that I'm speaking to, even though I don't understand how and why, but I do understand and I accept that whatever Allah wills for me, that's the best. If having it is what's good for me, then Allah is going to make it possible for me to have it. If not having it is good for me, then Allah is going to keep it away from me because keeping it away from me is what's good for me. All right? So Allah's will and his permission stands between everything that we aspire to, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Allah is good and he only accepts the good. He's good. So what is it? You have something good you're trying to do? Then Allah accepts the good if it's good. But does it mean that just because you say that it is good, that it's good for you right now, right? Allah is the one who knows. So what we have to do and what we have to learn to do is to accept if Allah obstructs the way of something reaching us that we intend or we will or that we planned to realize, if it's obstructed, we have to say, Alhamdulillah, mashallah, Allah must have something better in store for me, which also includes having something better in store for me in as much as he hasn't allowed me to have it, and that's good for me. That goes back to that hadith about the believer. All things are good for the believer, right? If a bad thing happens to them, then they are patient. They have sabr. And that's good for them. If a good thing happens to them, they are shukr. They have gratitude, and that's good for them. But that's only the case for the believers. So this is a little more than, this is more, it's going to be a little more time than we want to take right now. So I'm going to go ahead and step out of that and accept that that's the principle that we want to share tonight, and Hajja, you can come on back through, and you can have your own comments. As I'm just going to tick through the people who checked in, and that's it. Hold on, I know I gotta get you back in here.
Okay, awesome. I think ultimately the big jewel that helped me tremendously, even in what you were sharing about, you know, to surrender to Allah's will, is to really understand, to really study those attributes. Like Allah is to you who you know to be, like, know the attributes. And it is in that that you can start to recognize these different moments of how this shows up and how you navigate even in the trying times, right? To know that Allah mm-hmm. wants nothing but good for you, that it mm-hmm. may, your body may be feeling an experience, right? But your soul is like, look, trust, look, I'm telling you, Allah wants good stuff for you. Like good. Mm-hmm. And so when you lean into that, you can get through those turbulent moments and land, inshallah, smoothly.
Mm-hmm. So, exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's it. I know. I mean, literally, even on those commercial flights, I remind myself all the time when that turbulence comes up, you know, I never take for granted that Everything's cool. It's going to be fine. You know, I've checked into some things. I've talked to some pilots, you know, on some occasions that, okay, well, you know, how much turbulence is really like over the top or something like that, whatever. And so one of the ways that he explained it, that they test the planes, you know, for the flex strength and the flex strength of the wings and et cetera. This is not the little biplane that you're talking about. I'm talking about the United, the Delta, the da 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 da.
Yeah.
And it's like, so when you get the thing, so, oh, okay, it's got to be that bad in order for it to really do. It's kind of comforting. That's how that knowledge kind of helps you calm down a little bit. With you know,
yeah.
this ain't one of those, right? But
right.
It's still, you know, feels your body. Still feels the way that your body feels at that time. And shoot, I go straight to Shadow Allah, Ilah Allah, Shadow Muhammad Rasulullah, La Ilah Allah, Muhammad Rasulullah.
Direct.
Like, I mean, and I go that way until it stops, period. I can look like I'm a strong old man sitting in the chair. Oh, he's really cool about shoot, man. I'm making some hard dua right there. Right?
In a major way.
And I'm always reminded, when we land, right? When we land, I'm always reminded by the verse in the Quran that there are those, you know, when the storms are moving and swaying, et cetera, you know, they implore Allah, they ask Allah, and they make promises to God, oh God, get me out of this and I'll do this, I'll do that. Said, but then when they on land, they forget all about their supplications.
Forget all of that.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So when I often try to remember myself, say don't be that one, don't be like
don't
that.
Be
you know
that
how scared,
dude.
You know how scared you was when you was up there. It's like don't
that's
be that
right.
one that forgot that when you land, right? So yeah, so
right.
You got to remind yourself, you know, thank you Allah, alhamdulillah. I remember God.
I remember.
You don't want to lose none of those blessings and none of those protections, right?
Yes.
So all right, so that's gonna be it for us, and inshallah, we look forward to you all joining us for the Ramadan intensive sessions that begin on March 22nd through April 5th, Friday from 5 to 7 on the West Coast, 5 to 7. You do the math for yourself, and then from 11 to 1 on Saturdays, and then break. Prayer time break, et cetera, and then we start over from 2 to 4 on Saturday. So it's 4 hours on Saturday and 2 hours on Friday. Inshallah, make dua for that. We look forward to it. All righty. Everybody have
all
a
right.
wonderful evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.